Julia Adkisson, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we have some get-to-know-you questions for first-time guests on the show. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
What is your favorite musical and why?
I love so many musicals, but I think I will have to say Hair, the musical, the American tribal love rock musical. I forget what the long name of it is, but I think that one's my favorite. And it's because I did that show, gosh, over 10 years ago now on a national tour, and it really helped me kind of come into my own as a performer and connect me with a time in our culture that I think we all kind of know, at least in American culture, you know, like the hippies and the, you know, make love, not war. And, you know, that moment, that slice of time. And it really helped me kind of connect back with that and what was happening culturally, societally. And it was really liberating to get to be a part of that with a cast today. And the music is just like timeless. All those songs that, you know, we've all been hearing, Age of Aquarius and Good Morning Starshine. And it never got old. It always felt like I was doing it for the first time. So I have to say Hair.
What is your drink of choice when you're at a bar?
Probably an old fashioned, a Maker's Mark old fashioned.
Nice. Dream travel, a destination.
I think it'd have to be Oahu, one of the Hawaiian islands. It's like I've been there twice. I'm obsessed with it. And I would go back in a second if I had the opportunity.
Tell us a bit about your musical background, you know, how you got into music and a bit about what you've done in your career.
I grew up in a really musical home. My dad and my mom, but mostly my dad, were really big on playing records, and music was really important to both of them. And I was also really involved in church, which was a big part of my musical foundation. That's kind of where my parents were like, oh, she can sing, like listening to me sing in the pews. From the time I was, I think, first grade, super involved with elementary school productions and concerts and things like that. And that kind of grew into being in musicals when I got in high school, and being a music major, a vocal performance major in college, just kind of discovering my own voice, like little by little along the way, whether it was through, you know, hearing feedback from other people or taking voice lessons. When I got to the end of college, I decided I wanted to try my hand at being a performer, a musical theater performer. I'm from Arkansas originally, so I spent a couple of years bouncing around different theaters near where I grew up in Arkansas, whether it was dinner theater or a more involved regional theater. And then through those jobs, I met people who were living and working in New York, and they were like, you should move to New York. And I was like, why? And they were like, that's where everyone goes to, you know, find talent for to cast these shows. So you need to just be there. That's where everything is happening. So I moved to New York in 2007 and have been living and working there ever since in some capacity. But from there, I spent probably about 15 years working almost exclusively as a musical theater performer. I worked at Disney World for a little while in their Lion King show at Animal Kingdom, did some regional theater work, and was able to make my debut on Broadway in 2011 through the touring production of Hair, the musical that I mentioned earlier. That was really a dream come true to get to make my Broadway debut, but also to get to do it in such an iconic show. And it was actually a show that was returning to Broadway after having closed a few years prior. So it was a super big deal. And it felt like a really important moment to be a part of that production and to be a part of telling that story. So from there, I continued working in theater. I got to do the off-Broadway production, a revival of Rent, for about 6 months after that, and continued working in regional theater, made a transition into arts administration, funnily enough, through teaching artistry, and now have kind of switched my career to being full-time arts administrator. I work in arts education at a theater called New York City Center in Manhattan, New York. now I do performing kind of as my side job. So these performances with the symphony, like Freedom, are kind of how I get to scratch my artist itch now.
I have to ask because, you know, it's so storied how difficult it is to break through, you know, in the Broadway scene in New York. Is it as cinematically difficult as it's depicted to be?
Oh my gosh, it's so difficult because it's really, it's just like the things, everything has to align, you know, it's all about right place, right time, it's about relationship, it's about the show. I mean, I had been in callbacks, final callbacks for multiple shows through the years. You know, I would get so close and then I'd be in the final three or the final two and, you know, it would go to job or go to someone else. And so things just kind of aligned the way they were supposed to. What's funny about Hair is that I mentioned, you know, that it had closed a few years before I made my Broadway debut, and I had auditioned for that production of Hair multiple times and been either typed out because their number of auditioners was too large and they just started sending people home, or I got cut from dance calls, or, you know, I had been kicked out of this show or of being in this show multiple times. And so when it came back around for the tour, I was kind of like, nah, this isn't going to happen. They're not really interested in me. But that time around, the casting director saw something different, and the Broadway piece of this wasn't even a part of the plan. It was just supposed to be an open-ended national tour, but we were supposed to be going to, I believe, South Korea at some point during the tour, and those plans fell through, and the producers wanted somewhere for us to go, and there happened to be a theater open on Broadway, the St. James Theater, and so they decided to take us there, and we spent 12 weeks at the St. James. So it was totally like out of the blue, unprecedented. Tours didn't really do that back then. They don't really do that now. Mm-hmm. So it was really like a very special dream come true moment to get to be on Broadway like that.
You're coming to Toronto to perform with the TSO in Freedom, a tribute to Aretha Franklin. How did you get involved with this project?
I actually was brought in as a sub on this show in its early months, because it was originally conceived with three singers, two women and one man. And I think one of the women was going to be out. So I got brought in by Scott Coulter, who is the owner of Spot On Entertainment, who's bringing this show to the symphony. I was connected through Scott through other performance jobs, and he asked me if I'd be interested in being a part of it. So yeah, I jumped in February of 2020, right before the pandemic started, to give this a whirl. And it was so fun. And fortunately, after things opened back up in 2021, Scott came back to me and was like, hey, you want to do some more of these Freedom shows? And I was like, heck yeah. So I've been involved pretty consistently since then. Thankfully, I love this show.
What relationship have you had with Aretha Franklin prior to this, getting into this show?
Aretha Franklin is so pervasive in not just music, but I think in American culture. Even if you don't know who Aretha Franklin is, you probably recognize R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. You know, it's just, it's everywhere. And it's in movies and it's in commercials. And so I feel like she's been a part of my life since I understood what music was. And through various theater jobs where it's been tributes, you know, where I've had to sing her music, and through this project in particular, I've grown to love her and her music even more. And then the movies that have come out, that Respect movie starring Jennifer Hudson, the documentary that came out several years ago that was filmed in her childhood church, I've gotten to just know more and more about her, history, and have had to really like dig into her music to learn it and to make it my own over the course of working on this particular show.
As you say, she is so ubiquitous. She's an iconic figure, iconic voice. Was it intimidating initially to step into her musical shoes for this?
Yes, intimidating to say the least. And also working with the other singers that originated this particular show, that was intimidating too, because they're all phenomenal in their own right. all Broadway performers and some nominated for Grammys. And, you know, so number one, stepping into, you know, Aretha Franklin's music and having to sing it on my own with the symphony was scary. And then having to watch these other singers do amazing work with the same material was also scary. But what I've found is I really have to lean into my own voice for singing this material. If I try to do, if any of us try to do an imitation of her, it's not as effective. So I think we're all really good at kind of taking the essence of what each of these songs are and the soul of these songs, and then being able to sprinkle in our own particular seasoning to each of the songs that we sing, whether they're solos or trios, or we're singing background vocals or any of that. But definitely intimidating, still intimidating to this day.
Are there any songs in particular that you are most excited to perform in this show?
I really love singing Ain't No Way. It's a song that I, of hers, that I've been listening to since I was a kid and listening to people's covers of it. And I've always just loved the song. And it was actually sung by a former member of this cast. And when they left, the Scott, the producer, asked if I wanted to take on the song. And I said yes with some trepidation, but I have found my own way in the song. And it's just, it's my favorite song to sing with the symphony.
Can you talk about the significance of Aretha Franklin's legacy and how it may have influenced you even before taking on this show?
I mean, she is, like I said, just an icon. She's a pillar in American music. I mean, I have world music history. My first kind of encounter with having to sing her music, I did a production of this musical called Beehive, the 60s musical, in my early performer days. And it was just a review of female singers from 1960 to 1969. And Aretha Franklin had a section. There was a section for her in the show where it was a medley of Natural Woman and Do Right Man that I sang with another singer. And it was not long after college. And I spent college as I was studied classical voice. And so I was still trying to kind of find my footing in this world of what does a musical theater voice sound like and feel like to me? Can I sing pop music? Can I sing soul music? It was tricky. And so when I was given the list of songs and saw that I had to sing Do Right Woman, I was like, I can't sing this. I don't sing like this. And the director was like, well, you need to figure it out. And so I spent a lot of time studying other people, studying Aretha singing it, listening to other members of different companies of Beehive singing it. Once again, very intimidated, but like found my way through the song. And it became one of like the most exciting moments in the show. Like we got standing ovations for that song every night. So I remember it fondly. And also just a little nervously, because I remember how scared I was in the beginning.
That makes me actually want to ask you, because the whole instrument thing, when it comes to like learning that you studied classically and then went into music theater, I mean, they are very different approaches. I'm so curious to hear your insights on the difference when it comes to using your instrument for these different genres.
Yeah, you know, I'm really grateful for the fact that I was trained classically, because I mean, I went into that training in college already knowing, quote unquote, how to sing. I'd been singing my whole life, but the classical training gave me a foundation that I found I can apply to any style of music. In classical music, you know, operatic music, art song, it has a very particular sound that I think we're accustomed to hearing. But as far as, you know, breath support and intonation and diction, the things I learned about how to act a song through the classical training, all it supports everything I do in all the music that I sing now. And I also think it's been able to give me a lot of longevity in my voice. I'm able to sing in a really healthy way and have been able to sometimes, I would say, manipulate my voice to make it maybe sound a way that I really want it to sound without doing damage. Because, you know, vocal injury is a real thing. Just because you can't see it, you know, a lot of people, we often don't know a lot about people dealing with vocal injury. I think like with Adele, we've heard about vocal surgery and things like that more in recent history. But the foundation that I got singing classically, I can apply across the board. It's all kind of comes from the same toolkit, really.
And this isn't going to be your first time in Toronto, as you mentioned. You were part of the touring production of Hair, which spent some time here. So what are you looking forward to coming back to here in TO?
I just want to walk around. I remember just it, like everything being so clean. It was like, because I had friends who said, oh, it's like New York City, but cleaner. And I like, that's something I do remember. I was like, oh, wow, it's just so clean. And like the air felt so crisp. And I was actually trying to think of like, there was a vegan restaurant that I went to quite a bit that was maybe on, is Queen Street a street in Toronto?
Yeah.
I remember. Maybe it was on Queen Street. I cannot remember the name of it, but I went there, I think, every day and got like vegan chili and like a green juice. And I'm going to see if I can look at a map and try to figure out if it's there or where it was. I'm just excited to be back. I'm actually planning to bring my 3-month-old son with me, but that'll be his first international trip. So excited to get to bring him there too and, you know, experience it with him.
Fantastic. Well, we look so forward to hearing you on the stage at Roy Thomson Hall in Freedom, a tribute to Aretha Franklin. Shalia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been delightful. I can't wait to sing with everybody in Toronto.